This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are the New York Giants doing, BT, as far as their quarterback situation goes? Jameis Winston. And as if that wasn't bad enough, there's still a possibility that it could be Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. If the Giants don't end up with Cam Ward, it will be the biggest bust that we have seen from a franchise that continues to trip over themselves for the better part of a decade.
I don't think they're getting Cam, Sal. I don't. I really don't. Listen, I get it. It looks weird. It smells weird. Kind of tastes a little weird. Like, what are we doing here, Giants? But this year, this draft's always going to be defined by who they get in the draft. And while I don't think they'll get Cam Ward, I don't see them moving up to one. I feel like that ship is kind of sailing. You know, you have to have somebody, and you need an experienced quarterback on the roster. And you know, you sit around and you wait for Aaron Rodgers, and you run the risk of Rodgers, you know, just saying, eh, I'm good, or I'm doing something else, and then you miss out on him. Same with Russell Wilson. You had to get somebody on the roster other than Tommy DeVito. So I know it seems a bit odd, but until we see what they do in the draft, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though, that you can't help but think over the weekend. So you see Jameis Winston on Friday, whatever it was, when we get off the air, and I'm thinking, okay, well, at least now we know the backup. Like, Rodgers, forget about Russell Wilson. Now it's going to be Jameis for the starter for the short term and for the young quarterback. And then it's, well, not so much. No, they're not out on Russell Wilson. And if they get Russell Wilson, obviously that would take them out. I'm getting the gut feel now, and again, I'm not reporting anything. I have no idea. I just use common sense here and try to follow the trail along some of these reports and see what I believe in or not. And I did believe that the Giants were going to go after Cam Ward after they missed out on Matthew Stafford. But if you use the common sense, BT, that we've talked about this before, the idea that they were so heavily in on Matthew Stafford and then on Rodgers, that would indicate that they don't love a quarterback. And now with Jameis and the idea that it might still be Jameis and one of the veterans, whether it be Rodgers or Wilson, that would to me indicate that at the third pick, they're taking the best player available, not a quarterback, and you're likely looking at a scenario where the Giants are going to go into next year without a future franchise quarterback yet again.
All right, so I hear you. I think that, and I know that it's out there that they could still get Russell Wilson. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. That would still surprise me. Like, if it's Jameis Winston and Aaron Rodgers, I don't know, or Jameis and Russell Wilson, that just seems straight up goofy. I think this is what it's telling me. They're going to walk away with a quarterback in the draft somewhere, I think, in the top three rounds. It's going to be probably a bit more of a project or a little more raw than anybody would really like, which is why they want to make sure that they've got somebody who could at least throw the football. And I'll tell you, yeah, I know Jameis, you know, Jameis's highlight reel, Hall of Fame. Jameis's low light reel, absolute stiff bust. I get it. There's not a lot of middle ground for him. But if we saw in 2022, we watched Brian Daboll, even if it was a one-year Band-Aid, Sal, coach up Daniel Jones and just squeeze the mistakes out of him and stop doing stupid stuff. Now, Jameis can't run like Jones, so it's a different kind of coaching philosophy. You don't think there's a chance he can kind of smooth them out and coach out the mistakes? I do.
I do not think Jameis Winston was signed to be the starting quarterback for the full season. If he is, that is just a colossal mistake on every level. So if I'm doing that math saying, okay, well, they're not that foolish, they're not going to sign Jameis to be their full season starter, it either means that they're bringing in somebody better as a veteran like Rodgers or Russell Wilson, or Jameis is going to be the starter for now. Remember, DeVito's already on the roster as a backup, so there's really one spot to play with here. I mean, they're not going to have four quarterbacks, are they? You wouldn't think.
Well, you could cut DeVito. I mean,
they just brought him back. Why would, if they weren't sure that they wanted him to be the third stringer or a backup? I mean, mm-hmm. I guess that they could, but just doing the math here, BT, mm-hmm. I can't. I mean, I would be stunned if the Giants were that stupid to have Jameis Winston be the starting quarterback for the entirety of this upcoming season. I would think that it's either for now in mm-hmm. transition, or he is a backup to the other veteran that they would go out there and sign.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm with you for the most part. Like, I do believe that they see him as a stopgap, as a cheap option. And by the way, what they paid him, you know, 2 years, $8 million, that is absolute, no doubt about it, backup money. So, you know, the money tells us all we need to know. Listen, I know Giant fans are all over the map emotionally. Settle down, everybody.
I don't know if we have BT there. We might have lost some bad connection. Either way, yeah, Giant fans. Look, Giant fans were going nuts about this on Friday from one perspective, and that Jameis cannot be the starting quarterback for the entire year. And I think that that's where I am in agreement with them. Now, if they're okay with Jameis being the starter for now with another quarterback, yes, agree with, meaning a younger quarterback. But if Jameis is here just to be the backup, and again, I have no idea. We're going to find out how this thing plays itself out. Whether it's Rodgers meeting, you know, with the Steelers, maybe he comes to meet with the Giants. We'll find out what happens with Aaron Rodgers. But maybe the Giants are looking at, okay, just get Jameis at a good value because they didn't overpay for him. So just have Jameis at a good value to be a backup quarterback, or if they do draft somebody, have him be the veteran starter for now. Cam Ward's pro days today. Giants going to be down there checking him out. What does that mean? I have no idea. I mean, I still am holding out hope that the Giants could go out there and trade for Cam Ward. And really, the other guys don't do it justice. I wouldn't want Shedeur Sanders. BT and I have talked about that many times. I mean, Jackson Dart is fine, but if you're going to have Jackson Dart, wouldn't you rather have Russell Wilson being your starting quarterback for now? Which is what makes me think, and especially when Russell Wilson was still on the table, this is not instead. Jameis Winston was not instead of Russell Wilson. It might be in addition to. I mean, those are the reports. You would initially think that that's going to take them out of the mix for Russell Wilson. But if they're not, that means they signed Jameis to be the backup to somebody that they think could be better. And then in the worst case scenario, if that guy is, you know, and maybe have a competition between Russell Wilson and Jameis, maybe it's similar to what the Steelers did a year ago with Fields and Russell Wilson himself. Maybe we could see that. But I said it last year, and I'm going to say it again. And really, it doesn't even matter at this point because the damage is already done based off of last year. When they did not take a starting quarterback a year ago, a future franchise quarterback a year ago in the draft, that to me was the beginning of the end for this regime with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. And they missed many opportunities. There were certain guys that I would have wanted. Now, look, they like Jaden Daniels. Yeah, well, who didn't? They like Drake May. Yeah, who didn't? But there were other opportunities, BT, they had that they passed up on. And now it feels like they might be punting yet again, and it'll be the second straight year that the Giants might end up without a franchise quarterback from the draft.
They are as baffling a franchise right now that exists in pro sports. They really are. I mean, everything that they've done doesn't make a whole lot of sense. From the timeline, Sal, that they put their general manager and their head coach on, to, you know, what they did with Daniel Jones, to what they did with Saquon Barkley. They should have reversed that. And this is ancient history, clearly, but this is a 2 or 3 year gaffe-laden
right.
run by this organization. John Mara, you know, applying pressure maybe where he shouldn't have back with Jones and some other spots. So when you make that many mistakes, as they have, there's not one, there's not one like, all right, let me hit the button, here's the parachute, and I can save myself. You've got to grind your way out of it. And at least by getting a guy in the building who's thrown some touchdowns, who seems to be well-liked by his teammates, now at least you have a starting point of operating freely, which is what I said before. But now you got to do it. You got to find somebody. You got to trust your instincts in the draft, and you cannot be wrong. Be wrong.
Think about it, BT. What are the other options now? Right, the Giants have shown, and maybe it's some reporting, like they haven't told us directly what they want to do, but if you just put the pieces together here and follow the bouncing ball, they clearly were going after the best veteran quarterback available, the most proven, known commodity, no questions about it, what Matthew Stafford would be if he were a New York Giant. So that was their number one choice. That is off the board. Then it's like, okay, well, now what? And it seems, based on the reports, that their pursuit of Aaron Rodgers was heavier than their pursuit of the number one pick, if that were even a thing. The reports about Rodgers are real, and the Giants being involved in him and holding out hope for him. So that would show you the second best quarterback, at least in my opinion, on the market, or second most proven quarterback in everybody's opinion on the market. How Rodgers will be at this point in his career, at the age, whatever, that's still TBD. But so those would indicate that maybe they're not too keen on one of the young quarterbacks. But now with Jameis Winston, even bringing him for value here, I just don't. The next piece is going to be crucial here. It can't be Jameis and Russell Wilson. And let's just say it is, because I feel like now it might be the most likely thing. Mm-hmm. Then what? If they don't end up with a future franchise quarterback, what are we doing this season? Trying to win 8-9 games? I mean, is that the goal?
Well, it shouldn't be. But, you know, the first thing you got to do is get on even footing. I mean, winning 3 or 4 games is just utterly unacceptable. So 8 or 9, well, I mean, 9 wins would be throw a parade at this point for this franchise. But even if you could just get to a competent level, like, see, we all want to push this thing forward, and eventually they do as well and get to, you know, a championship place. There's no shortcuts. I mean, there's a reason why the Knicks were garbage for 20 years, and the Mets have had multiple runs of elongated futility. Same with St. John's, who we'll get to later. Like, to get competent, And great, you've got to at least get to the, you know, competency avenue. And I think by just getting somebody in the building, you give yourself a chance to do that. Now, listen, this whole thing, as much as we've sat here and said for months, maybe they trade up and get Cam Ward. And you and I like Cam better than Sanders. You and I both like him better than Sanders. But even he is far from perfect. The Giants are in the very unenviable position of needing a quarterback and needing to radically change the way they're perceived and how they work from the inside out. And no obvious choices atop the draft. So whatever they do, it's going to have to be creative. And they're going to have to read this quarterback room, which is maybe a C+ or a B-. And they're going to have to squeeze some blood out of this thing. And I don't, you know, good luck.
Yeah,
it's not a very easy situation.
No, and I like Jameis' personality, but on the football field, he's not very good. He has proven he can't be a regular starter in this league. He can be exciting at times, but obviously when you throw as many interceptions as he does, he can be just as bad at times. He's not going to help you win a ton of football games. Will they get better? Like, is Jameis Winston definitively better than Daniel Jones?
Here's what I'll say, Sal. Throwing the football, yeah, he'll make more mistakes too. I guess I can't say definitive. Right. If I'm struggling that long, probably not definitively, no. Right.
And if I had to ask you which one you would want to try to win more games now, which one would you take?
Honestly, I would take Jameis Winston, because one thing that the Giants have is zero juice. They've got no identity. And, you know, even if he's gone in a year or after the 2-year contract that he signed, Jameis, you know, there's something to be said for an infectious personality. Mm. And one of the things that was just brutal about Daniel Jones was his vanilla, very benign presentation. I can promise you that, you know, a locker room full of young athletes, you know, Jameis is going to bring it, and Jameis is going to elevate. He's going to make it more, certainly more interesting, both good and bad. But I think if you're trying to escape the doldrums of mediocrity and just drowning, I think I'd rather have Jameis try to pull me out of it than Daniel Jones.
I feel like I trust Daniel Jones to win more games, and Dable has already proven that at least the first year. Now, I'm not saying, obviously, you know I don't love Daniel Jones by now, but Jameis, to me, was brought on to be a backup. So now the question is, who's the starter for this year? Is Jameis going to start until they transition to the young kid, week 6, 7, 8, whenever that may be, 10, 11? Or is it going to be as a backup to Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers? And either way, right now, it doesn't look pretty for the Giants. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Charles is in Allenhurst, New Jersey. What's up, Charles?
What's up, guys? When I saw this news on Friday, I wasn't too thrilled by it, but I got to tell you, I wasn't surprised. And this shows to me they better have identified someone in that draft that they can get, because it doesn't look like they're going to get Cam Ward. Tennessee might not have the appetite to trade the number one. It looks like they're going to take him now. So they better have found someone in that draft that they think can elevate the franchise. And let me say one more thing. With Jameis Winston, I can't take it anymore. All the people out there saying, oh, he's entertaining to watch play football. He's fun to watch. He's fun to watch when he's not on your team. And he's throwing the ball all over the place, throwing interceptions, chucking the ball down the field with no care in the world.
Would you rather watch DeVito? Would you rather watch DeVito?
I want to watch the team win, and I want to watch them develop a rookie quarterback.
I get that. You will.
People say, yeah, you will. I can't, like... Yeah, hopefully. If they don't, well, I mean, these guys better.
BT? That's the question. And thank you for the call, Charles. That's my feel. When? I mean, the idea that Russell Wilson would still be in play, doesn't that show you that they may not be thinking about drafting a quarterback?
No, that doesn't show me that. No. I don't believe, until it happens, I refuse to really, truly believe that both men will be, including Rodgers. I guess the door is slightly open. I don't think that that's going to happen. And I think, by the way, any way that you cut it, because, you know, even with the Cam questions and certainly with the Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart and anybody else, Jalen Milroe, whomever you want to throw in there, I think once you get past Cam, and again, there's questions with him, but there's more and more and more questions. So why not, you know, why not get somebody who is at least a little proven? Like, there's no way you could have gotten to this year with Sanders and DeVito. And if you didn't at least sign, or Dart and DeVito, if you didn't at least sign Jameis the other day, hey, Rodgers might retire. Rodgers might go somewhere else. Wilson might go back to Pittsburgh. What do you do?
Yeah, well, Jameis can't be the answer, though. So that's why...
But he's not looked at the answer, Sal.
Oh, we don't know yet. I mean,
No, we do by the amount of money they paid him.
Yeah, okay.
We absolutely know.
Fair enough. You think Jameis Winston's going to start games this year or no?
I think he's probably going to start week one.
Yeah, but that's a problem. Jameis Winston stinks. He stinks. So now, if you're telling me that Jameis is going to start week one, but hand it over to Cam Ward in week 6 or 7 or 8, whenever that may be, that's a different story, because then it doesn't matter, as I've been saying all along, it doesn't matter who the starting quarterback is. It's about who's the next quarterback. If it's Aaron Rodgers, then we're making all this fuss about a backup quarterback, and even that, to me, is not a good quarterback room or quarterback situation moving forward with Rodgers and Jameis. Is Jameis the backup? Is he going to be the start of week one? That is TBD, but who's the guy? DeVito's back. Now Jameis is here. We still don't have an answer on who the quarterback is for the New York Giants.
Listen, the names, we've thrown the names out there. I can promise you. I said this to you the other day. They've made enough mistakes. I would have brought them back. Okay, they're back. If they go through the first 2 or 3 rounds of the draft without, you know, either moving up and getting a quarterback, and I don't mean necessarily from 3 to 1 or 3 to 2. I'm talking about, you know, maybe trading back from or second round, moving up and getting something. Like, if they don't do that, which they will, there's no doubt that they will, but if they don't, just get in your cars and go home. You shouldn't be allowed back in the building. It would be grossly negligent and unacceptably irresponsible. That's not going to happen.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. A huge week in New York sports. You got opening day. Looking forward to both the Mets and Yankees getting their season start a little bit later on in the week. We'll continue with the Giants. Calls 888-808-1019, which I'm sure will be a theme right up until the draft and through the draft and all that stuff. We'll see what free agency brings you, but we'll continue with the Jameis Winston Giants quarterback situation. BT, a disappointing end to the season for the Johnnies.
No, it was. They didn't play well at all. St. John's, you know, really rough time to play. Basically, your worst game of the year. And listen, this is the deal with the NCAA tournament. There's no you know, well, it's a 7-game series or it's a best of 5 where you have a rough night, you can kind of, you know, come back and try to make amends. St. John's just shot the ball as awful as I've seen them shoot, and I've seen some rough nights, particularly earlier in the year. They were bad. They were really, they just didn't play well at all. You know, Arkansas, I knew they'd be physical. I knew they'd be longer, certainly a different, you know, different physical presence, but St. John's made no shots. They made no shots.
Yeah, Arkansas didn't play a great game either, and that's kind of the point. But this can't be a surprise. I mean, St. John's, unfortunately. So now if you step back and look at a big picture, they were the only 2 seed to lose, right? You get the majority of favorites winning, so they were the only one to really get upset. I know a 3 seed in Wisconsin loss or whatever. That's happened a couple times. But the fact that they were the only 2 seed to be home early outside of the Sweet 16, for me, there is no difference between the first round, the first win on Thursday night, or yesterday. They needed to really get to the next round. As I said on Friday, that to really just shut everybody up from any kind of criticism, the very least they could do is get to the Sweet 16. Now, for me, it does not take away from all they accomplished in the regular season. But I did not have these great expectations like I think a lot of fans did. You think this takes away from St. John's season? Because, I mean, even was it Lewis who said it after the game? Even he said it feels like they accomplished nothing. Where are you at as far as the big picture for St. John's?
Well, I mean, listen, it's been 25 years since they won an NCAA tournament game. So I get it. The expectations were certainly to get out of Providence and get into the Sweet 16, and right now probably be on a trip on a plane to San Francisco. So when you look at that and you look at the regular season championship, the conference tournament championship, the number 2 seed, all those things shout, you've got to get to the second weekend. They didn't, but I still deem it a success. I mean, St. John's had to change a culture that was you know, just unspeakably bad and non-existent for a long time. And think about, like, I know that, you know, a loss is a loss, but St. John's, they at one point, and the final score got away from them, you know, you foul, you make a couple foul shots, whatever. St. John's was down by 4 with 4 minutes to go. One starting forward shot 1 for 10, Aaron Scott. I just want to illuminate how hard they play. R.J. Lewis, by far, his worst game of the year, 3 for 17, and I want to get back to that, why he was benched. And Kadori Richmond, who, I mean, some of those fouls were awful. I'm not going to make an excuse. Nobody wants to hear it. But he played 16 minutes, and he fouled out 16 out of 40, and he's been one of the best players in the country all season. So when you add all that up, I mean, St. John's should have been blown out. Like, if you told me that that's the 3 things I just mentioned, Scott 1 for 10, Lewis 3 for 17, Kadori 5 points, playing 16 minutes, I'm saying St. John's getting waxed by 15 or 20. And then you mix in the fact that they shot 2 for 22, I'm saying maybe they lost by 30. But they didn't, because they can, they work. They had 28 offensive rebounds. They had more than Arkansas. They only had 6 turnovers, but they just, which is fewer than Arkansas. They just didn't make any shots. And the whole, you know, the thing with Rick and Calipari, you know, Calipari now has an advantage over Rick that is undeniable. Calipari, you know, people could think this. If they do, I don't know what to tell them. That's have the opinion. That's fine. Calipari did not outcoach Rick Pitino. He didn't do it.
I mean, but his team won.
I know. No, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, his team didn't play great either, but it leads me to think that maybe St. John's, and for all the people who said Sweet 16, it's got to be Sweet 16, I hope they have that same energy when I was getting crap last week saying that no matter what, this season to me would already be a success for all the reasons that you mentioned. They won the Big East the way that they did. Putting themselves back on the map to me was more important as far as how, more important than how far they went in the tournament this year. Next year might be different, and I know the expectations changed in season with the St. John's team, but maybe they shouldn't have been a 2 seed. And look at what UConn did, even in the loss to, many people think, the best team in the country in Florida. I mean, it was a good chance UConn would have won that game, and they would have been moving on. And then what? Then would you rather have UConn season or St. John's season? So from where St. John's was coming from, I still think that even with the loss falling short going to the Sweet 16, I still think it was a very successful season no matter what. But when you're a 2 seed and you want to be talked about with the big boys, and then the only 2 seed in the tournament to lose this year, and you have UConn fighting with Florida, going to Arkansas and Calipari, not Florida, then I could see how people could maybe minimize what St. John's did this year, say maybe they were a little overrated or shouldn't have got that 2 seed.
I think you could kind of have both views there. I think certainly, you know, just looking at St. John's fans leaving the arena on Saturday and then going back to the hotel, you know, and seeing the understandably, the long faces, the sad face, I get it. You know, you crushed. I mean, the players were crushed. The coaching, it looked like Rick had tears in his eyes at the press conference.
What happened with the benching, BT?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I believe it. I am with Rick on this. Now, RJ Lewis was benched and he didn't play the final, whatever, 5 minutes or so. And I do not believe, I did not ask Rick about this. The last thing I'm going to do is bother him now. I'll circle back to it at some point. Not now. Give him space. He was not benched because he didn't shoot well. And I think that's where a lot of people get it twisted. And by the way, he shot, I mean, just 3 for 17 is just, it's atrocious. But it happens. It's sports. They're not robots. The reason why RJ Lewis was stuck on the bench, and I got to tell you, Sal, I believe rightfully so, is because he became selfish. He did not play defense, and he put himself in front of the team. Mm. And when you do that for anybody, you're probably going to pay the price. When you do it for somebody like Rick, who certain virtues and principles are non-negotiable, you're going to find you behind on the bench. And I feel terribly for the kid because he was amazing this year. But, I mean, his shot selection was deplorably bad. It was bad. And then really watching him and sitting courtside, I could really see it because I could see the body language of some of his teammates, like putting their arms up, like, what are you doing? I saw this twice from Zuby, who played fantastic. There, you know, I don't want to say that he was just breaking off plays and ignoring things. I'm not going to go that far. But he certainly took it upon himself to try to play some hero ball. And Rick said, not happening. I got no problem with it.
Yeah, it's good insight. Because if it were just because of the shooting, then I think you could question it. Be like, hey, this is your guy all year long. Go down with him. Even then, you could say, you shouldn't be out there because he's cold. But at least then you have more of an argument against Rick. If it were because he was doing things that were not, if they were selfish, not the betterment of the team, and Pitino doesn't like that, then yeah, then you got to bench him. So I have no problem with that. All right, let's get to some of the Midday Madness with you on the phones here on BT and Sal. Brought to you by Boost Mobile. David is in Manhattan. He wants to join the Madness. What's up, David?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Love the show. And just want to comment or get your comments on kind of, I think it's an unsuccessful season. Losing in the first round, the first weekend like that is totally, totally embarrassing as a team. The way we were going in, winning the Big East, I think it's a total unsuccessful season. I also want to get to the celebration and trying to keep the bars open after the first night because BT, in all fairness, I know you cut me off last time. But
oh, no, David, we're not doing this again, and thank you for the call. I got rid of him there, BT. We're not going over the celebration, and David, you don't understand. You want to talk about the Johnnies, that's fine. His first point, I thought, was a good one, and I'd like to hear your response to that. We're not going down the path. David called last week.
Yeah, I remember.
And, yeah,
I
was
remember.
Talking about, yeah. In case you guys missed it, he was just talking about, BT was saying they were having a celebratory shot after the first win. Not the players.
No,
BT was having it.
Not the players.
I mean, geez.
Yeah, not the players. We got back to the hotel, and a bunch of fans did that. So, yeah. Listen, if this is Duke or even Michigan State or vintage Carolina or UConn, I get it. It's a different level of evaluation. But I also think that multiple things could be true. You can be very disappointed in losing to Arkansas. You can even frame it as a season that was less than it was supposed to be based on all the checkpoints and the accomplishments, which everybody knows, which I just hit, including being a 2 seed and being 7.5-point favorites going into the Arkansas game. But once the emotion and like that emotional duress kind of peters out a bit, and eventually it does, you got to get back to the real world, man. I don't know how you can be a St. John's fan today and not be appreciative of the moment. St. John's is not UConn. St. John's is not Villanova with Jay Wright. They're just not. What they were was completely irrelevant until they decided to hire Rick Pitino. So I think if you view it through an all-encompassing prism, honestly, maybe this sounds corny, maybe this doesn't work for everybody, and that's fine. I do respect that. But if it's through that all-encompassing prism, you could be dissatisfied and unhappy. But I think the emotion that should win out is one of gratitude and enjoyment. And now next year is the rubber match. All right, the first year with Rick, maybe they should have made the tournament. They didn't. Get over it. They just missed out. This year, they did what they did. They probably should have gone further. They didn't. Get over it. What happens next year? To me, that's the swing season.
Which is why, BT, I was so surprised where there was some pushback from what I was saying earlier in the week last week. Like, no matter what, because you nailed it, I think the key part is where this St. John's John's team is coming from. And maybe that's because some St. John's fans value themselves in the category of UConn or some of the blue bloods. Like, that's just not reality. You can be as passionate about your team. They're not. They're coming from nowhere. They were a doormat. They were as irrelevant as you could possibly be. In the biggest city in the world, they weren't even relevant at all for the last 20-plus years. So to do what they did this year in the regular season, that to me, no matter what happened in the tournament, it was a success. Obviously, the tournament losses are going to hurt. And then let's just have a hypothetical, because I was thinking about this when UConn had the lead over Florida. Good God, like if UConn would have won that game, whose season would you rather have? Forget where each came from. We know UConn with the back-to-back championships and St. John's. Mm-hmm. But in the moment, do you think UConn fans would have enjoyed their season more had they beaten Florida and gotten to the Sweet 16? Or St. John's fans, of all they accomplished, dominating UConn twice and, you know, and the Big East tournament, all that stuff that, that St. John's had in the regular season?
It's a great question, but it's hard to answer. I will answer, but it's very hard to answer because the mindset of the UConn fan and the St. John's fan is radically different.
Yeah.
You know, now, maybe they begin to intersect more because, you know, UConn didn't win the championship for the third straight year. And they, I watched every second of that game. They played their asses off, man. They really played well. And Clayton, ironically, played for Rick Pitino at Iona. And he was trying to get him to St. John's, but he's a Florida kid. And he wound up getting, you know, good money to stay with the Gators, whatever. I would say, from a St. John's perspective, I think now being able to go to Carneseca Arena and look up at a 2024-2025 regular season Big East championship and a conference tournament championship banner, I think that that's going to carry more weight than having neither of those and winning a game and getting. Now, you'd also have a Sweet 16 banner. I get that.
Yep.
You know, but there were multiple joyous moments. And again, the mindset's not directly the same. We know that. But St. John's fans felt amazing because confetti was falling not once but twice, and they beat UConn twice, including up there. I would say that it's more memorable to win the way St. John's did this year, but I get the question. It's a fair one.
Let's get to some more. Midday Madness here with you on the phones here on BT and Sal, brought to you by Boost Mobile. Dave is calling from Paterson, New Jersey. Dave wants to join the Madness. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Dave.
Guys, what's up, guys? I don't think St. John's should be ashamed. They lost to a team with Arkansas with a New York City guard, and they were kind of New York City tough almost. So I don't think that St. John's should be ashamed of that loss. The question is, can Rick use all that money to get the right guys next year from the portal? Because Seton Hall did not do well because of they didn't have the money. So what kind of portal kids is Rick going to get?
Well, he's got the money. I appreciate the call, Dale. I promise you, they've got the money. Mike Rapoli's got the money. Mike Rapoli's got the motivation. St. John's now has, instead of a stigma, see, now it's easier to point to something. I know they lost on Saturday, but more tangible results rather than younger players and maybe their dads and their grandfathers saying, hey, you know, young man, I playing for Coach Pitino would be an amazing thing, which it would be. But if it wasn't, if there was no concrete evidence that Rick still had his fastball, then I think it's more of a leap of faith. As long as the money's there and the money's only going to, I believe this only motivates Rapoli to spend more, which, by the way, is a problem with college. I mean, there's got to eventually be a salary cap. It's ridiculous. But that's also what saved St. John's, ironically. So you live by the rules and, you know, you died by the old rules. Now you're living by the new ones, which you'll take. I think that the thing that's going to be tricky, Sal, you can pay great players, you can't pay for chemistry. And one thing that St. John's had, they were a little deficient shooting the ball. We all know that. We all talked about it. They had great chemistry this year. You're going to get better shooters in terms of stats. Do you mesh the same way? I don't. You might, but if you don't, is that lack of mesh, does that offset better shooting? That's the question moving forward. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, similar to what we saw with the Knicks. You're saying the words that I want you to say. BT and Sal back on the fan on this Monday morning. Hop has a little update here for us, BT. We'll get back to the calls about the Johnnies and obviously the Giants quarterback situation. And Hop has something to add on that. What's up, Hop?
Yeah, according to Jordan Radon, after all this, even with Jameis Winston signed, the Giants are still waiting on Aaron Rodgers. The Steelers are doing everything they can to sign him, but they all sit there and wait. No matter how it plays out, the Giants aren't done at the QB position.
All right, so BT, we know that they weren't done, but hearing that, that they're still waiting on Rodgers, which is not a surprise, but it just confirms that. Doesn't that tell you that they are not drafting a quarterback?
No, no, it honestly doesn't tell me that. It tells me that they would be fools to rely on Aaron Rodgers to do thing in a timeline that's, you know, on pace with their own, because he very rarely does that. So to me, this was a preemptive strike with Winston.
As a backup.
As a backup, just in case. The money bears that out. 2 years, $8 million, $4 million a pop. That's clearly backup money. It's a very average and spotty quarterback crew coming out in the draft. Nobody really knows if Tennessee truly wants to trade out of one. Nobody really knows what they feel about Sanders. So I think this is just kind of protecting themselves. And they might not be done with Rodgers or Wilson. I think they just had to get somebody in the building that's not Tommy DeVito, no disrespect.
Okay, fair enough. So then we don't need to go nuts. But then my next question is, would Rodgers or Russell Wilson, because the report wasn't just Rodgers, obviously that was Renan, but we heard over the weekend that they were still on play for Russell Wilson. So let's say Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh and then they go get Russell Wilson. Is that going to prevent them? Is Rodgers or Wilson coming in going to prevent the Giants from drafting a quarterback? That's what I need to know. That's all that matters to me.
No. Yeah, me too. That's the question.
But then if DeVito's back and Winston's here as the backup and they go sign Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
They're still going to draft somebody?
Yes, I believe they will, because I think that you look at the money Tommy's making. I mean, it's peanuts. So you can cut him. I mean, if you had to, you could put him. I don't know what the exact rules are for practice squad if you have guarantee. But I don't know. But I can promise you that, you know, Tommy DeVito making $1 million is not going to get in the way of Giants drafting somebody.
Okay, BT and Sal on the fans. Get back to the phones. BT, 888-808-1019. Keith is calling from Brooklyn about his Giants. What's up, Keith?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Please hear me out before you jump on me. So I'm thinking, like, the third pick has to be a difference maker, right? It can't be just a good player. I can't see taking a risk with any of the quarterbacks here with number three, right? This play has to be a difference maker. There's only one player that immediately does that to me, right? So first, my plan is to try and pick up some draft capital by trading down only like one or two spots, right? Don't have to get crazy with a million picks. So whatever play is on the board, if it's Travis Hunter, it's Abdul Carter, whoever it is, try selling just to get maybe a third round pick, an extra pick, right? So trade down one or two spots, then take Mason Graham to play defensive end next to Dexter Lawrence, right? Immediately up the Giants defense. Adding a game record next to Dexter Lawrence forces the defenses to choose, right? Who are you going to block? Now also consider you got Tibbs and Burns on the ends. It would bring the Giants' Super Bowl defense back. It would immediately command respect.
Well, why not just take Abdul Carter, though, Keith, if that's the case?
I feel like he's a little too light. Listen,
okay,
I think he's
that's fair.
Really,
that's fair.
But I want a guy to stop the run and a game record, right? Think about right now the Giants, even with our defense, they ran all over us. So if you put a guy like Mason Graham who could really disrupt next to Dexter Lawrence, like, tell me, how do you block that? And then you also have Thibodeau, and you also have, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like it would immediately. Now, here's the thing. We also need a quarterback. So take that extra draft pick, trade back up to the first to pick up maybe the kid from Dart
Keith, and thank you for the call. Yeah, it sounds great in theory. Dart's going in the top 10. So, I mean, there's a chance maybe even goes before that. I would be stunned, BT, if he lasts any pick beyond number 10. Somebody will either select him or trade up to get him. So the thought of trading down, I like it, but sometimes you're getting too cute. If you're just going to take the best player, then just take the best player. For me, it would be Abdul Carter. Maybe they like Hunter. Maybe they like Graham, whoever. And we could each like our own guys. I'm not trading down if I'm the Giants, if I want to take an impact player from the draft.
I mean, if this was any other year, Giants would actually be in a pretty decent spot, because they are in a position without moving. They're going to get they have a chance to get an absolute superstar, a game wrecker on defense, like one of these transcendent players that's going to be around if and when the Giants, you know, have that full-fledged pop and they win. Giants win with defense. And if you get a run stuffer, and instead of, you know, it's second and two, you know, it's second and nine or second and eight, well, then it does make Kayvon Thibodeau better. It does make the secondary, which I think they've done a pretty decent job in free agency, better. They got to stop the run. Here's what I know, though. There is, I don't know what team it's going to be, and I don't know if they are fully amenable to this, but you cannot tell me that there's not somebody in the NFL that looks at Shador Sanders, that truly covets him, that loves him, and maybe even Jackson Dart, although three strikes me as a little bit high and almost irresponsible for Dart. But, hey, the beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Giants were in a pretty decent spot. Like, if they didn't need a quarterback, they would be in a phenomenal spot.
Yeah,
well, they really would be.
And maybe that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to say, well, we don't need to draft a quarterback. They said the same thing last year. We went over that. They could say right now, we're not being forced, which, by the way, is the right thing. In theory, it is the right thing to not be forced if you don't love somebody. So maybe they're saying that, hey, we're going to just go get, we got Jameis as a solid backup. We trust him. Keep DeVito around. And now we could use our third pick on the best player available and hope to sign Rodgers. And if not Rodgers, then Russell Wilson. Now, here's where maybe they do trade down. To your point, let's say that Cam Ward goes number one to the Titans. And let's say that the Browns take either Hunter or Carter.
Okay.
Now the Giants are at three with Shador Sanders there. And if there is a team that says we need to get Sanders and the Giants are saying we are not taking Sanders, that's where you could maybe trade back down. But I wouldn't go nuts because now you're taking yourself out of the potential of taking either Hunter or Carter with four, or Graham, I guess, with five if you like him.
Yep.
You know, you got to be careful in that spot. But that's maybe the only – if Cleveland doesn't take a quarterback, assuming Ward goes to the Titans number one and Cleveland doesn't take a quarterback, the Giants could maybe look to trade out of the third pick if somebody wanted to come up and give them whatever it is for Shador Sanders.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that that's true. And that's one of the reasons why I said, you know, when we started the show, you guys go back and check it out on the Free Odyssey app. Just hit rewind. Me and Sal started the show with this, doing St. John's as well. So a little juggle. But I said, it's really important for the Giants to be able to operate a little more freely here. And I don't know how you have clarity when you don't, when all you have is DeVito on the quarterback depth chart. So again, Jameis is not the answer. Jameis is, if he plays 10 games, 5 games, he's going to be an absolute train wreck. 5 games, he'll look fairly interesting and throw a couple of touchdown passes and bring some juice. But at least by having that, I mean, Jameis Winston's 5 times better than DeVito. I mean, he just is. So now that you have that guy, now at least you can do things a little more rationally and you are not desperate. When you're desperate, that's when you do stupid things.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue the conversation. 888-808-1019. When we come back, Johnny's Giants quarterback situation. We're working some baseball along the way as well. Opening week, we're excited about both the Mets and the Yankees. So plenty to get to on the Fan.